Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan, and this is number 11 of our series entitled Justification. Warning, what you are about to hear is not popular with the adversary, and if you have a high opinion of yourself, you probably will not like this program either. Also, if you're religious, you probably will not like this program. But if you're religious, we're here to deliver you. We're here to give you Christ instead of religion. Well, again, this is number 11 on justification. If you have any questions, you can call us at 847-312-4676. Also, you can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. That's crossandthrone.com. We've got a couple of great things for you on there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can also get a copy of the Concordant Literal New Testament, the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, and also get with that the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. These two tools alone will give you more information about God than if you had spent 20 years in a seminary, and believe me, the Concordant version, the commentary, cost a whole lot less. And you can go to seminary with nothing but the Holy Spirit as your guide and the Scriptures as your teacher. Well, we are in justification, and this is last time we were in verses 18 to 23 of Romans chapter 1. And I just want to point out that what God does here in this chapter, in this first section of Romans, in verses 16 to 17 of chapter 1, we have the theme announced. It's God's righteousness, and it's for all who believe. And but before God explains all that in Romans 3:21 onward, first thing he does is show that man has no righteousness, because it's not until we get to the place we realize that we are nothing that God can demonstrate his all-sufficiency. God is all-sufficient, friends, and that means that you and I are neither all-sufficient nor self-sufficient. God is the only sufficient one. He suffices, and he meets every need. He meets the needs of sinners in every respect. Now, we saw last time that God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all irreverence and injustice of men who are retaining the truth in injustice. And we're going to see, first of all, what God is going to do through Paul in chapter 1, verses 19 to 32. He's going to show how the Gentiles had the knowledge of God in creation. They saw God's works, and they retained that truth in injustice. So instead of acknowledging God and glorifying him and thanking him, they traded God in for their own noodles. They invented in their own minds what God is and who he is, and they ended up worshiping the creature rather than the creator. So we come now to verse 24, where we see these words: wherefore God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves, those who alter the truth of God into the lie and are venerated, and offer divine service to the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed for the eons. Amen. Now that was verses 24 to 25. We first saw that God revealed himself to the Gentiles in creation. The Gentiles rejected that, so God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. The Concordant Commentary says there is no surer road to degradation than to degrade the object of our worship. And that's a true statement. Man isn't just corrupt, he's religiously corrupt, friends. Our religion is corrupt. And I think today in modern Christianity, we've taken some of our corruptions and added it to the Bible. We've read in so much paganism into the Bible, the God that people worship today, they think they're singing about Jesus, when in reality they're singing about some pagan God. Compare the modern doctrines of Christendom to the Bible, friends, and you're going to see a lot of paganism. Now, in verse 25, the comment here is there may be an allusion here to the prevalent custom of worshiping the Roman emperor. It has often occurred that when men have attained to great eminence, they have demanded and received divine honors. Alexander the Great claimed such homage. So when man worships the creature rather than the creator, we could have a reference to the worship of the state and the king and so forth. As a matter of fact, in this passage here, we're going to see in 2 Thessalonians, one of the things the man of lawlessness is going to do, the false Christ who is coming to this earth. There is a false Christ coming, the man of lawlessness. And in 2 Thessalonians, we read this regarding this man of lawlessness. And Paul says, and now you are aware, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, regarding the man of lawlessness, he says, and now you are aware what is detaining, referring to detaining the apostasy, for him, the man of lawlessness, to be unveiled in his own era. The man of lawlessness is hiding right now, but the principle of lawlessness is at work. That is, man has a tendency to worship himself and worship mankind. And for the secret of lawlessness is already operating, only when the at-present detainer, that's referring to the ecclesia, which is his body, may be coming to be out of the midst. When the church is snatched away, the ecclesia, which is God's, which is the body of Christ, is snatched away to heaven, then will be unveiled the lawless one. And then it says, whom the Lord Jesus will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence. That's referring to the unveiling, Revelation 19. Then it says here, whose presence, speaking of the man of lawlessness, is in accord with the operation of Satan, with all power and signs and false miracles and with every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. Now, going back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. This man of lawlessness is going to do the opposite that our Savior did. Our Savior, who being in the form of God, did not deem it pillaging to be equal with God, but he emptied himself. Here the man of lawlessness is going to exalt himself. Remember, Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden, you will be as gods. And then after the flood, the Tower of Babel, man sought to make a name for themselves. It was human. It was the worship of mankind. It was the rejection of Creator. And this secret of lawlessness is going on now, as we see in Romans 1, men worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for the eons. Amen. And another thing that's fascinating is when we get to the book of Revelation, this is exactly what happens in the 13th chapter. And if we can turn there in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, we see something very fascinating here regarding this man of lawlessness. And it says here that and all who are dwelling on the earth, verse 8, will be worshiping it. Everyone whose name is not written in the scroll of life of the Lambkin slain from the disruption of the world. And this kind of worship is going to be so prevalent at that time, and we're working our way toward it now. When we get to the book of Revelation, we're going to see this in Revelation 14:6. And I perceived another messenger flying in mid-heaven, having an Aeonian evangel to bring to those situated on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and language and people, saying with a loud voice, be afraid of God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judging came, and worship the maker of heaven and the land and the sea and the springs of water. In the time of indignation that's coming after the church is snatched away to heaven, during this Daniel 70th week here, we're going to see an angel, a messenger, flying and announcing the Aeonian evangel. The King James called it the everlasting gospel. Friends, that's not the gospel, the grace of God that we proclaim today. This is the Aeonian evangel, and it's concerning God as Creator. The world is going to become so corrupt in worshiping this man of lawlessness, and it's going to culminate with the worship of the man of lawlessness, as we see it starting here in Romans 1. Man turned God down and thus worshiped man, and we're going to see it reach its pinnacle in that time, that the gospel is going to be that God is the Creator. Man is going to become so corrupt worshiping something that is not God, that God is going to be, the message is going to be worship that Creator. And so we saw back in Genesis 10 and 11, man turned away from the true God and turned to idols. Joshua 24:2, referring to Abram, says that Abram, when he dwelled on the other side of the river, the Euphrates, says they served other gods. And this is what we have here. So Paul continues, he says in verse 24 and 25, wherefore God gives them over in the lust of their hearts the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves, those who alter the truth of God into the lie and are venerated and offer divine service to the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for the eons. Amen. I like how Paul throws it in there. Man has so dishonored God, and I'm sure Paul was appalled when he wrote these words to think that God's honor was so degraded that he had to point up and say, the one who is blessed for the eons. Friends, that's another study. Eons. The word forever is not in the Bible, but the word eons is. We have eons and aeonian. By the way, we have a little booklet studying this term. By the way, the Bible does not speak of eternity, but it speaks of eons and eras. So there are time periods in the Bible. If you're interested in that pamphlet, give us a call and we will get a copy out to you. Paul continues in verse 26, therefore God gives them over to dishonorable passions, for their females besides alter the natural use into that which is again beside nature. Likewise also the males, besides leaving the natural use of the female, were inflamed in their craving for one another, males with males affecting indecency and getting back in themselves the retribution of their deception, which must be. And so we see when man turned God down, they went to all kinds of moral degradation, illicit sexual practices. But notice it says God gives them over these things. God allows them to go this far, and it gives them over to these dishonorable passions. Yes, they have passion. It also says they were inflamed in their craving. Sometimes you see men in their sin, homosexuals and lesbian people, and they're very passionate, and they may seem like nice people, but the reason why people behave like this is a rejection of God. And if you're out there, and if you are a homosexual or a lesbian person, let me just say this. God sent His Son to be your Savior. And He died for your sins, and believe on Him, and God will declare you righteous as you are. But we see this is the result of God's indignation and His giving them over to these passions. Well, if you have any questions, give us a call. I have to run, so we'll have to pick this up next time. My number here, 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. Go to our website, crossandthrone.com. We have the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary. It's the best commentary and, of course, the greatest Bible translation. We also have Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And by the way, if out there, if you are a homosexual or a lesbian, I want to send this book to you for free. Even if you were once at one time like this, and you may still struggle with it, give me a call and I'll send you out this book for nothing, gratis. Until next time, believe God no matter what the clergy say.